It's in your worship folder. You'll notice that it is a service of readings and hymns. The theme of our service is thankful throughout the year. In 2 weeks, our new church year will begin, and this is a good way, I thought, to prepare us as we review the different parts of the church year. Church year just now ending this coming Sunday, and then looking ahead to the different sections of the church year in the future. And of course, we're thankful to God for all the things that Jesus did for us, that we acknowledge in the different parts of the church year, and then also in the opportunities that we have also to serve Him. So we'll just follow along, and the readings aren't printed out, so I'll give you a second, or at the end of the hymn, we'll go ahead and look up those different verses if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible. So God's blessings on your worship this evening. We'll begin by singing hymn number 615. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own grievous fault. Like the nation of Israel, I have been too quick to grumble and complain, and too slow to rejoice and give God his due thanks. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Jesus says to his people, If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Go in peace. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Father, your generous goodness comes to us new every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness. Give thanks for your benefits and serve you in willing obedience through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. We want to be thankful to God during the Advent season, which of course is the first season of the church year, which we talk about the coming of Jesus in a variety of ways, but mostly in coming to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament as the Messiah. So we thank God this evening and during the year, throughout the year, for his gift of hope that is ours in Christ. And we read those selected verses from Luke chapter 1. We begin at verse 39 and then 54 and 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is the word of our God. We turn now to hymn 23, and sing this Advent hymn, the first four stanzas. heart. Following that season of hope and expectation in Advent, we celebrate that great joy to the world in Christmas as our Savior is born in Bethlehem. So we thank God throughout the year for His gift of joy. We read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. We join now in singing stanzas 1 and 2, of one of our favorite Christmas hymns, number 62, "Joy to the World." Immediately following the Christmas season, as we hear that good news that the Son of God, the Messiah, was born into the world, we're reminded that He did not come only for His own people, but He came to be the Savior of the world. And that's what Epiphany season is about. Epiphany sometimes is called Gentile Christmas, because it reminds us and teaches us that Jesus came not only for His own people, but for the people of all the world, including you and me. So we thank God throughout the year for making Himself known to us. And in his gospel, the Apostle John reminds us of that. So we read in the first chapter, we read the first 5 verses, and then verses 10 through 17. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then at verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." This is God's word. We'll now join in singing our Epiphany hymn, hymn 82. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 5. John revealed to us that Jesus, the Savior, is true God from eternity. On the last Sunday of Epiphany, which is the Transfiguration, Jesus let his glory, some of his glory as God, shine out so that the disciples could be strengthened in their faith by that vision of their Savior and see that he indeed is true God. But after the Transfiguration, then Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die, to go through his passion to pay for our sins. So immediately following that wonderful joy of Christmas and Epiphany, then comes that season of Lent, that season of repentance where we think about our sins and that they cost God his eternal Son as payment. And then we turn to the cross for our forgiveness and salvation. And there we have the access into God's grace. And so we are thankful throughout the year, and we thank God for access into his grace that we have through his Son Jesus. So follow along with me. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of our Lord. We join now in singing hymn number 114, the Lenten hymn, Christ the Light of All the Living. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. Following those dark and doleful nights of the Lenten season, in repentance, we come to that end of Jesus' suffering and death during Holy Week, at the end of Holy Week, with institution of Lord's Supper, Maundy Thursday, and then Good Friday. And then as we stand vigil and wait that wonderful good news of the angels on Easter morning, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. And in that resurrection, his resurrection from the dead, we have that new birth from unbelief to faith, from eternal death to eternal life. Is there a more glorious day in all throughout the year than Easter morning, when everything that we've been preparing for since the first Sunday of the church year really comes and finds its ultimate climax in that good news of the resurrection of Jesus? That particularly, isn't it, something that we are thankful for throughout the year? We thank God for our new birth in that resurrection of Christ. And the Apostle Peter writes about that in his first epistle. We read in the first chapter, verses 3-9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is God's word. We join now in singing a hymn of thanks for our new birth in Christ by singing hymn number 168. Please rise for prayer. I invite you to join me in the responsive prayer of the church printed in your worship folder. For all the fruits of the earth, for the harvest by which our bodies are nourished, for the good land in which we live, for the freedom and protection we enjoy, for your sustaining hand in the history of our nation, and for all the blessings that have come to us in this nation. For our homes and families, and for all that you have provided to strengthen and build the ties of love and honor that bind us. For the spread and growth of your kingdom in all the world to the glory of your name and the salvation of precious souls. For the victory you have given to our fellow pilgrims and our own loved ones who now live with you in glory. For all these and countless other blessings to body and soul, we give you thanks and join in the prayer you have taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Forty days after Easter comes the Ascension of our Lord. Sadly, a festival that sometimes gets limited observance because it always falls in the middle of the week rather than on a Sunday. But our Lord Jesus ascending into heaven to sit at the right hand of God to rule over all things is very important for us. And I would particularly call attention to this section of the reasons we give thanks throughout the year, because this coming Sunday, the last Sunday in the church year, is Christ the King Sunday. And the psalm that I'll be, God willing, preaching on is a psalm that is often used and associated also with ascension. So Christ the King Sunday and ascension are very parallel in their message and in their meaning for us as Christians. And as it says here, the meaning of both is that the Lord rules all things forever. And as we give thanks to God throughout the year, we thank Him that He does indeed rule all things forever for the good of the church. Our scripture lesson here is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We read in the first chapter, beginning at verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of our Lord. We join now in singing a hymn of glory. Let us sing hymn 171. We'll sing stanzas 1, 5, and 6. The second half of the church year, we know as the non-festival half of the church year. Throughout the first part, we talk mainly about the things God has done for us. And then after Pentecost, Ascension, Pentecost, Trinity, and then the Sundays after Trinity or Sundays after Pentecost, the emphasis of the church year switches from what God has done for us more to now what is our response to God. Now, obviously, we don't stop talking about what God has done for us. But if you notice in the second half of the church year, the emphasis is a little bit more on our response to the things that God has done. Our sanctification, our lives as Christians who believe in those things that we focused on in the first part of the church year. And whenever we do those things, of course, we do them by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Pentecost season is really the season of the Holy Spirit and the works that He created, that God created in us to do, and that the Holy Spirit enables us to do these works, as well as giving us spiritual gifts that we use for the good of one another in the body of Christ. So we're thankful throughout the year for those gifts of the Spirit, and we thank God for them. For our reading, we turn to Paul's letter to the Galatians. We read in chapter 5, beginning verse 16, where Paul writes about that gift, the life by the Spirit, and the gifts that he gives. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is God's Word. Join now in singing hymn number 611. The church year draws to a close in the last four Sundays, of which we are now going to have the fourth one this coming Sunday. We've looked at the Reformation. We've looked at Last Judgment. Last Sunday, we spoke about the saints triumphant, those in white robes, including we who go to heaven and have that wonderful blessing of being at our Savior's side with our Father in heaven. So we are thankful to God as we draw to a close the church year, particularly because it reminds us of that timeless period that we will spend in eternity. Thanks to Jesus of all the things that He has done, that we were able to manifest our thankfulness for it by the power of the Spirit. And then one day we'll have that rest from our labors and we'll join our loved ones who have died in Christ to be with them forever in paradise. And so as we're thankful throughout the year, we thank God for our white robes, that righteousness of Christ, that perfect holiness under the law that He won and did for us that covers over all of our sins, so that our Father, in whom we have now been reconciled, will receive us into our eternal home. And we have a picture of that, a familiar picture, in the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John. And we read there in chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of our Lord. We join now in singing our hymn of thanks, hymn 613, stanzas 3 and 4. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We join now in our closing hymn, hymn 610. We'll stand for the last verse.